Let me give you a quick update. Tonight, we're closing out the year. I think we already have finished up our studies on prayer in our booklets. Is yours all done? Are you still got blanks? Okay. We'll try to get those answers for you to copy from somebody else. We will be handing out new ones next Wednesday, okay? So you'll be getting another binder with the next phase in it on practical prayer life. We'll look at things on what makes life, how do you have a practical prayer life that works. So we'll be getting into that. So I wanted to just close out the year with something a little bit different, take a break from that before we move on. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to start off in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 tonight. And I wanted to close out the year. I thought this is the last time for preaching in 2025. And so you start thinking, well, what do we want to talk about when it comes to closing out a year and getting ready to go into a new year? And so I started thinking about victory, but I wanted to do a little bit more than just victory. So we're going to be talking about being victorious in 2026. How would you like to know that at the end of next year, you can look back and see that you had great victories in your spiritual life? That'd be nice. And maybe you can look back on this year and can claim some victories that God brought you through. And so tonight we want to close out this year before tomorrow gets here and begin to have a good idea on this area of being victorious in 2026. And we want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture to get us started on it. And then we're going to look at four things that are nothing new. I'm not going to teach you something you don't already know or haven't already been taught. It's whether or not you have put it in practice is the key, okay? And if not, then we have another opportunity to say, okay, let's try this again, all right? So next week, you'll get your binders, and I don't even know if we'll start yet next week on that, but I'll at least get your binders to you, and we'll see how the Lord directs in this here. So the first one I want you to look at is a very familiar verse in Romans 8. Paul is writing, but look at verse number 37. We just want to zero in on this verse particularly, and it's one that we all know. He says, nay, Paul says, nay, in all things, look at those next two words. We, which would include you and I, are. Present tense. It's a continual present tense. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. First off, I want you to notice, and we ought to rejoice and thank God, number one, that he loves us. Amen? The love of God. We sing the song about the love of God, how great it is. But notice what it says here concerning this verse, that he says, because of his love for us, he wants us to be winners. He wants us to be victorious. I remember, and maybe I have said this one before already, if I have, forgive me, all right, because I am getting older and my memory doesn't last long, whether I've repeated myself. But that's a plus about being in an older congregation as well, all right? I told Tim I had a couple of songs I want to be able to have him play for Sunday, and when I told him what some of them were, Althea goes, we just did that one a couple weeks ago. I said, it's all right, they won't remember. So I was reminded that God wants us to be victorious. Amen. I mean, he's on our side. He's not hoping that we fail. He doesn't hope that we are a failure. He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be more than, it says, conquerors. And when we talk about that phrase more than, it means simply to not just win a victory, but this victory surpassed anything that we ever thought we could do. So with that in mind, God wants you and I to be winners, all right, in 2026, which reminded me of what I was going to say originally before I forget, that there was a grocery store and the people shut down, the manager, people had gone home, the manager was turning out the lights, locking everything up, and he goes out and nobody's in the grocery store except all the different groceries. And over in the meat department, all the meat came alive. And they were all excited and they were pumped because they knew that that night there was going to be a race between the hot dogs and the bologna to find out who is the fastest. And so they jump down out of their little place they had, and the hot dog gets lined up, and the bologna gets on the other side because they're kind of both made out of the same meat, and there's always this who's the fastest, who's the best. And so they get said, on your marks, get set, go, man. And the bologna takes off running, the hot dogs, and they're just neck and neck, and the bologna starts pulling out a little bit farther. This is no baloney, all right? They're pulling out a little bit farther. And just as they're getting close to the finish line, the hot dog stretches out because he can. He stretches out and crosses the line first and ends up winning. The baloney thought it was going to win, and it lost. And it kind of just folded over in a depression and started walking down the aisle very, very sad that it got beat. But the hot dog was a good winner. And so he walks up to the bologna, puts his arm around him, says, don't be upset. We can't all be wieners, you know. Now, may I say this to all of you? We all can be wieners, all right? More than that, even. We can be more than conquerors. And so we're talking about be victorious in 2026. And that story should ignite a fire under you. Especially if you're a hot dog, that would be roasted. Or fried bologna, huh? Nothing wrong with that. So here we have in Romans 8, he says, nay, in all things. Not in most of the things. Not in a good portion of the things. I want you to see how complete our victory is. In all things, we are, present tense, more than, look what he says, conquerors. Now here's the key. We looked at almost every word in that verse except the next couple. Through him. I am a loser outside of Christ. You are a loser trying to live a Christian life if you're trying to live it in your own strength. He says, you can be, Kevin, more than a conqueror through him. Through him. The him is Jesus who loved us. And so keep that in mind, that verse. Now jump over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. One more verse here. He talked about showing a mystery, how we're not all going to sleep, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up in the rapture. And he closes it out in verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and he begins with thankfulness to God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, and there's that phrase again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through. You know, if you were to get a ladder out, climb up here and look in where these fluorescent lights are, you're going to find conduit, where they're running the wires through the conduit. The word through there, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors through him. That word through in the Greek is an interesting word. It actually means conduit. It flows through, our victory flows through Christ to us. It's not that we are victorious in ourselves. It's not that we're conquerors in ourselves, but it flows because of our relationship with the Father through the Son. The victory comes through him to us. Jesus is more than a conqueror, is he not? Jesus is victorious, and it's all that he is will flow from him to you. Now that's pretty easy to be said, okay? But I want you to notice as we go into this area here, there's going to be a couple of things that we want to look at. And by the way, this victory more that he talks about here is talking about a decisive win. It wasn't close. It was a complete dominant win for the victor. So let's look at a couple of things. How can you and I be victorious in 2026? Four things. You'll already know all four of them, but the thing is not just being a hearer, but a doer. The first one I want you to see, and these are coming in a proper biblical order. If you don't do this, the others, you won't do the others either. Notice the first thing here. It's victory, but notice, encourage God's presence. Encourage God's presence. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're taking notes, James chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us. James 4, 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he, God, will draw nigh to you. If I decide I'm going to purpose the Lord, in 2026, I want to get closer to you, God's saying, good, you're encouraging my presence. I will get closer to you then. God waits for us to show the commitment, and then and God's already committed to us. He wants to see if we'll be committed to him and how close we want to get. Understand, somebody had made mention, you're only as close to God now as you want to be. God wants to be a lot more close. He wants to be a lot more intimate with you and with me. And so the first thing we have to do is encourage God's presence. Draw nigh to God. You heard the old story where the old man and his wife are driving a truck, and he's sitting there, and she's sitting over there, and she looks over at him. She goes, I remember when we bought this old truck. We were just young, and we were dating. And she goes, we used to sit side by side. You remember those days? He goes, yep. She goes, how come we don't do that anymore? He simply asked the question, who moved? Who moved? If I'm driving and we used to sit close, it wasn't because I was like this. It's because you were right here and I could put my arm around you while I'm driving. Right? He goes, but now you're over there. Get back over here. Man, we'll be close again. And I wonder, folks, sometimes how distant we really are as believers. How non-intimate we can become. And so here we see that we first encourage God's presence today. A lot of times, the lack of God's presence, where we are conscious of his being with us, is neglect. Neglect happens in marriages. Neglect happens in our intimate relationship. And a lot of times it begins in the prayer life. We have been spending a lot of time on prayer. And yet, you can be studying, I can be teaching this stuff and become neglectful myself, going through the motions, instructing, and yet not actually taking the time to say, Lord, this is an opportunity for me. It's not just me saying, okay, I got to take time to pray. No, it's me saying, I want to spend time with you. Whether I get anything or not, just I want to be with you. And so a lot of times we are neglectful in our prayer life, and sometimes many Christians fail to draw near to God to enjoy his presence. We need to encourage God's presence. In Psalm 16, I should have this memorized, and I think I do. I just can't call it up right now. In Psalm 16, verse number 11, he says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. God wants to reveal things to us. In thy presence, look what he says, is not just joy, the fullness of joy. There's no lack of joy being in the presence of God. It is a joyful place to be. The fruit of the Spirit, indwelling us, is love. The second thing on the list is joy by being in his presence. And so if we as believers would begin in 2026 to practice the presence of God by communing with him via prayer and the reading of Scripture. God talking to you, us talking to God. And keeping a spirit of prayer, not only begin it, our day in this his presence. How many of you guys want to be joy-filled? Would you like to be joyful? And by the way, that's not just because everything's going well. I would like to have everything go well in 2026, amen? I don't want any surprises. I don't want any problems. I don't want any trials. I don't want any tests. Correct? But God says that he allows those things, and he uses an interesting term. He says, if need be. Well, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And by me just making those statements, I don't want to go through those things. And you agreeing, saying, yeah, I don't want to go through them either. He's saying, well, we'll see. See if you need to be going through some of this stuff. If you're, and by the way, as you're going through these things, it doesn't rob us of our joy. The presence of God, when we get out of the presence of God and not looking to him in those things, will rob us of the joy. And so we see here that in his presence is fullness of joy. And in that time is spent in intimate prayer, drawing nigh unto God. And no wonder the Apostle Paul could tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, not just to begin your day with him, but to carry it on through the day, where he says, pray without what? Ceasing. That doesn't mean we just continue to pray the whole time. No, you're in the spirit and the attitude to be praying. I made mention before when my dad got saved, he would be praying and he'd close his prayer and then he'd pray and he'd close his prayer. And when he got to where he had gone blind, he would be talking out loud. And sometimes we thought he was talking to us. We'd go out there, Dad, you need something? No, I'm just talking to the Lord. And I said, you know, he told me, he goes, you know, Kevin, he goes, when I first got saved, I would pray and talk to him for a few minutes, and then I'd just say, in Jesus' name, amen. And something else would come to mind. I'd pray and say, in Jesus' name. He goes, I really come to the conclusion, I talk to him all day long. And so I just said, Lord, I talk with you so much during the day, I think I'm just going to say, in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of the day. Because it was continual. There's that mindset of praying without ceasing. And so here we see how vital it is. The psalmist said this in Psalm 73 and verse 28. Now listen to this verse. Very important verse. Psalm 73, verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. So he's telling us, David said, it's good for us to draw near to God. In his presence is fullness of joy. I need more joy in my life. And it's going to come through spending time with him. Folks, that is the first step to being victorious in 2026. We sing the song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Does he really? I mean, we sing that. So let's look at the second thing. What follows on this area of our commitment to him, of drawing near to God? He draws near to us. What's the second thing on the list? Victory here is embrace God's promises. Embrace God's promises. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. For Peter to write that, Peter has grown abundantly to be able to record that through his denials, through his walking on the water, through his, you know, wherefore didst thou doubt? To all of those areas that we struggle with and we fall short in many, many times, as we allow God to work with us and still spend time with him, he allows us to come to this level here to embrace his promises. And Peter now is writing and instructing by experience under the Holy Spirit, whereby, he says, are given. The word given here means that God is freely bestowing. Kevin, since you're my child, I'm bestowing these promises on you. They are yours. They're yours. Go through the Bible, find the promises. He says, they're yours. He says, these are bestowed upon you. These I have given unto you exceeding great and precious. Talks about that they are of high value. They're so high value that one day Peter and John were walking to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a man that was seated there looking to people to give him something, to bestow something on him. And he looks to them, and he's hoping that they'll give him alms. And they said unto him, silver and gold, I don't have, my wallet is empty. I don't have any money. But such as I have, give I to thee. And he reaches down and grabs that man by the hand. He says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that guy who had never, ever walked in his whole life, this man leaps up, is jumping for joy, and it changed his life. It changed his worship. He went into the temple where he could not go before, praising God. How did it happen? Peter bestowed upon him a great and precious promise that Peter had been given, and he shared it with that man, eternal life. And I'm sure that guy was saved as well. When Christ was tempted, he rebuked the devil using the authoritative word of God, and he defeated Satan. When we win the victory over Satan, when we use the promises to quote in times of temptation, we are more than conquerors through him. We are victorious through Christ who loved us. Remember, in order to have these precious promises bestowed upon us, we need to search the scriptures so that we know what they are. That means you need to regularly spend time in God's Word. You need to read them. It won't hurt for you to, once you read a promise, write down that promise. So we read and we write and we come to the place where we maybe even begin to memorize them and remember that promise. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It brings direction. It brings purity. Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. So when we read them and write them and remember them, it allows us to claim them, to embrace them. This is my promise from God. This is the word. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt, and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just suggesting you can do a variety of things, but go through your Bible, find 12 promises in Scripture. Write them down, memorize one each month. A promise for the whole month. Start in January. Here's my first promise. Isaiah says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think it's Isaiah 26, 3 or what is it, Psalm? Find where it's at, all right? Memorize it and say it over and over for the whole month. Even if you say, well, that's only 12 verses a year. How many did you memorize last year? Okay, settled, right? That's 12 more verses under your belt. 12 promises, one for each month. And maybe it's not going to be the promise. Maybe it's just going to be a passage. What we were talking about here a couple of weeks ago, where you have the logos, which is the general word, but then you have the rhemas, which is a particular scripture that God gives you for the situation you're in. He'll give you a rhema. He'll bring it to your thing. Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. But when Jesus was being tempted, you look up the Word. When he spoke the Word to Satan, he wasn't speaking the Logos. He was speaking a rhema. He gave him a verse of Scripture that matched the temptation. And so maybe you want to just do that. Either way, embrace God's promise. Get into the Word. When we win the victory over Satan, it's because we are reading the Word, writing the Word, remembering the Word, and then we are claiming it. And so we can be victorious, not only today, but tomorrow and all the way through 2026. Take, embrace God's exceeding great and precious promises with you. And then, which is interesting, in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and it closes that verse out with this, that you might be a partaker of the divine nature. You're taking so much of the word in that you are being a partaker of the, you're acting, you're as Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now you're thinking like Christ, you're responding like Christ instead of reacting like yourself. And because of, we have embraced God's promise. The third thing we want to look at here in this area of victory is enjoy God's peace. Paul again writes, and he's writing to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4, another verse that you're familiar with, verse 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, he says, ultimately shall keep or guard your heart, your emotional being, and your mind, your intellectual. Whenever there's struggle going on, the mind and the heart are going. Your emotions are flying high, and your thoughts are going nuts. Tell me I'm wrong. He says, if you allow this peace to control you, you'll have control of those two things that can really drive a person crazy. Okay? A lot of times, Christians are missing out on the peace of God because of the mind and the heart not being under the peace of God. It's not being comforted. It's full of anxiety, worry. All right. Did anybody worry, fret, and be anxious in this year over anything? Anybody? Raise your hand. Just out of curiosity, and then look around. And you'll see how many of us were not fully, fully trusting. Because when there's anxiety and when there's all those things, it's a lack of us fully trusting. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine understanding, which deals with the way you think, and he shall direct your path. So a lot of our own stuff is that we're putting ourselves in things because we are not enjoying his peace, because we are not embracing his promises, because we're not encouraging closeness, intimacy with him. And I'm guilty of that. I have a verse here, Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I thought that's what I said earlier, is it? What did I say earlier? Oh, yeah, that's the other one. Yeah, okay. I knew I had Isaiah 26. That's another good verse, amen. And so enjoy, encourage, embrace, enjoy. That sounds to me, maybe I'm wrong on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been wrong before. Well, I was wrong once. I was wrong once, and then I found out I was right about it after it was all done. But to me, when you're talking about encouraging God's presence, embracing God's promises, enjoying God's peace, doesn't that sound like a person that does that is a Christian? That's what God wants. That's what he wants. And brings us to our last one as we are closing this one out and closing out 2025. Exclaiming God's praises. I'll tell you what, if the first three are happening, the fourth one is the outflow from it. It's going to come naturally. You will be exclaiming God's praises. And it all began with his presence. Psalm 34. Listen to what Psalm 34 says in verse number 1. This is really good. I will. Sometimes the things that we are supposed to do is the power of the will. I will. What does he say? Bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. He goes on and says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He invites them, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Then he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me. Oh, how he likes to bring deliverance. It's through him. And deliver me from all my fears. That was actually a psalm that was we used to sing, a song that we sang as a family. I will bless the Lord at all times. I think that we fail many, many times to praise God sufficiently. Whether because we're too busy, whether we are forgetful, whether we are neglectful, whether we are ungrateful. It could be a variety of reasons why we fail to praise God sufficiently. And any excuse for failing to praise the Lord, for me or for you, anything that we have as an excuse is actually unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Because He, our God, is worthy of praise. You realize that God, before He ever calls us up to heaven, if we're still alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, that we will go through a metamorphosis. It says we shall all be changed. The word change there is the Greek word metamorphe. It gets into the thing of the cocoon and the caterpillar turning into a beautiful butterfly, complete change. So before we meet Him in the air and are gathered together with the saints who have already died to meet the Lord in the air, it says we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. We will go through a metamorphosis, which means our bodies will be the same, but they will go through an incredible change. This mortal, and the word mortal means liable to die, this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality is deathlessness. This body will no longer age and get old and die at that time. And you appreciate that the older you get. Amen? I'm going through a metamorphosis, man. But it's not just for the reason that we want to look young. I mean, we try everything we can to stay young, don't we? Sometimes we do. We get to that place where you just say, you know what? This ain't happening. And so we start thinking about what we used to look like. Now, He's going to do that not just so that we are young and healthy and eternal, but if He took us up the way we are, we would not be able to handle the unbelievable joy. I think the joy would overwhelm us. I think the peace of God would overwhelm us. I think the praising Him that's going on in heaven would overwhelm our mortal, because it's going to be so unbelievably. Paul said that when he was caught up to the third heaven, he goes, I saw, I witnessed things that cannot even be uttered. I think we're going to be, in human lay terms, blown away. Which is fine with me. I need to get blown away. Amen? And so here we're going to exclaim God's praise. And be victorious today, today, and right on through 2026. That's fine with you, I hope. Amen? Doesn't mean there's going to be no trials. Doesn't mean there's not going to be any tribulation. Doesn't mean there's going to be any no suffering and no losses. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's everything to do with God through us. Us drawing nigh to Him, that connection. And from that point on, it's Him working through us, giving victory through Jesus Christ, being more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and then praising Him. That will be the natural outflow. And listen to what Psalm 35, 28 says, and I'm going to close with this. Psalm 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise when good things happen to me. No. All the day long. And it goes all the way back to the very first thing, being in His presence. That His presence is, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, He says, there are pleasures forevermore. You have to ask yourself this question. Do you, and I know the answer, do you want to be victorious in 2026? Do you? Then it begins with encouraging yourself with God's presence. It's followed by embracing His promises, getting in and studying the Scriptures, writing them down, starting to hide God's Word into your heart, to enjoy His peace in spite of what's going on with storms, because He's with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then going out amongst the brethren and proclaiming His praise, and then inviting people. Because of your exclaiming His praises, other people will get pumped and fired up and follow along. And then He'll be able to say, rejoice with me, you know, and it just triggers everybody else. So let me encourage you as we close out tonight. Is the last day of the year. Tomorrow we'll wake up with a new day of a new year. It could be the year of the Lord, amen. It could be, tomorrow could be the day of the Lord when He returns. But it may not be. But it is coming. It's closer, your salvation, the Bible says, and is nearer than when you first believed. I've been saved for 47 years now, and I'm 47 years closer. Amen. Some of you have been saved a lot longer and been waiting, just like Simeon and Anna waiting. He's coming. He's coming. Keep each other in prayer. Pray for this little boy, Grayson. We're going to take a minute or two here to have a prayer time. You can just get with somebody, sit down with them. Just pray a little. Pray for the closing out of the year. Pray for the opening of the new year. Share any personal things you might have with that individual. But take time to pray and pray for each other concerning these four things. And covet together. Say, you know what? I will help remind you, I will help encourage you in 2026 with these things. Would you do the same for me? And let's see what God will do through His Son to us. Amen? So let's go ahead and take a minute here and take some time to pray. We'll let everybody...